Father, we pray that you would speak, and that I may speak as an oracle of God. Lord, there's no time to waste. It's time to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Good to have all of our live stream people with us this morning, and thank you for your support. Let's open up the book of Romans chapter 8. I think I want to call this message Displacing Futility. Actually, I think I spelled it in my notes, fertility. But it's actually futility. Oh, I know what futility is in Muleshoe, Texas. Growing up in my mama's house, eating fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade biscuits, lemon pie, lemon meringue pie, and chocolate meringue, and expecting to be skinny. That was futility. I love my mama. I miss my mama. My mother died in 2006. She was 87 years old, and I miss her. She always took care of her bill. I guess I was kind of spoiled. Sue said, kind of, yeah. I still have to cut up my own salad because I'm the only one that can cut it up like my mama did. How many of you guys got that same problem? No, nobody would admit it, right? Okay. Well, J.R. prophesied this would be a deep, heavy, convicting word. I see we're started out on the right track today. Amen. Romans chapter 8. And just want to first of all look at that passage about futility. I love Romans chapter 8 because it so defines this process of becoming the manifested, the revealed sons of God upon the earth. Christ himself being the first pattern son of many sons that are coming to birth. It's great news this morning, the lineage that we're a part of. That God's still in the process of birthing sons. He didn't stop with just the son. He's getting a whole army of sons together. Whole company of people that have been formed and shaped and patterned in his likeness. So that we may one day say, just as he is, so are we also upon the earth. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? It's a bold statement when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the beautiful thing about Christ's manifestation to the earth, the incarnation of the Word becoming flesh, was this great revelation, this great unfolding of the Father revealing himself to humanity. Until Christ came, our concepts of who the Father was were pretty skewed by our looking through the lens of the law, looking through the lens of the kings and so forth in the Old Testament, the types and patterns and shadows. It was hard to get a clear definition of who he was. But Christ revealed him in all of his glory. He said, this is the Father's heart. This is what he really represents. And so we know that since Christ, since the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, since the birth of the church for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God's been in the process of bringing forth what we call a kingdom to the earth. And the kingdom that God is bringing is really what we call a kingdom of displacement. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about the principle of displacement, because we must understand that our warfare is not in the flesh, but it's in the spirit. Everybody say, my warfare is not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Oftentimes when we hear something from God, we'll take that and we interpret it into the flesh. So we hear something about battling and warfare and intensity, and all of a sudden it translates out into a fleshly expression, and we all of a sudden think, well, through our fist or through our mouth or our volume that we speak or through all these gyrations that we do in the natural man, we can somehow influence the spiritual man. But that doesn't work, does it? That's futility. It's like taking a sword to a cobweb. It's like putting a tattoo on a balloon. It's futility. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The kingdom of God to manifest upon the earth is simply a displacement principle. We're exchanging one thing for another thing. And so, based upon that, what displaces that which has been wrong upon the earth? What displaces the God of this age? What brings Satan down? The scripture said they saw Satan fallen from heaven like lightning. Well, what brought him down was Jesus Christ's manifestation. There wasn't room for Christ and Satan to both rule at the same time. How many understand that? There's only one rulership. There's only one authority in heaven, and that's what God gives. And Satan is a usurper of authority. When the Lord spoke to us in 1983, I was actually in my mother's shower in Muleshoe, Texas during the Christmas season. It's amazing how many revelations you can get in a shower. It's kind of like the washing of the water of the Word brings revelation. When I'm standing there in the shower, enjoying the warm water, and all of a sudden I hear a voice, and the Lord said, "Move to Austin, Texas, and take authority over the principalities and powers of the city." He didn't say, "Move to Austin and start a friendly neighborhood church. Move to Austin and become a good pastor." I hope you think I'm a good pastor, and I hope this is a friendly neighborhood church. But that's not the reason we came. The reason we came was to take authority over this region. Well, it's just now, after over 30 years, that I understand really what that's all about. It's not about we coming here and bombarding the heavens with voices, even though that's part of our proclamation, but it's actually about what we're becoming. See, there's two things. It's the things you do and the things you become. Which is most important? The things you do or the things you become? I'll give you a hint. Choose the latter. The things you become, the thing you become is the issue, not the things you do. Now, religion makes it all about the do. We call it the do-do. But God makes it all about what we become. Right? Then what Paul said, I count everything as dung, as loss, that I may have this knowledge of Christ in me. So it's becoming who we become that becomes the influence that we are. It's not what you do. Now, it's important that when you become what God called you to be, that you will do the right thing. But you don't put the do before the become. The become, then the do follows. Right? The faith precedes the works. So the Lord said, I want to become something in you so that you can do this. In verse chapter 8 of Romans, verse 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. See, people that are caught in futility are looking for an answer. They're looking for a solution to their despair of futility. Because people that are in futility are people that really have no concept of what it's like to walk in victory. Because in their mind, they have no importance of purpose. They're caught up in the frustration of lack and need. And all they can see in their life is lack and need. All they can see is an insurmountable issues of their life that they find no solution for, because that's what futility is, isn't it? Never being able to achieve any measure of anything greater than what we are today. It's futility, isn't it? Some people that play golf consider that a sport of futility. It really is. Because you never can quite achieve the perfection that you're looking for. So every time you leave the golf course, if you're an avid golfer, you feel a little frustrated. But that's okay. It's okay to let that lesson of frustration teach you something. That's not the place you have to live. One time I was playing golf in Littlefield, Texas, many years ago, and the anointing came upon me. The Spirit of God came upon me while I was playing golf. And I shot a 63. Now, how many know that that's a good score? Everybody said, that's a really good score. But every time I hit the ball, the glory of God was on my golf swing. I ended that round with no futility whatsoever. I felt satisfied. I felt complete. Because the anointing broke the yoke of futility on that game. But he goes on to say, let's read this quickly. Creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Everybody say, they've been waiting for me. Did you know that Austin is waiting for you? They not know it yet, but they're waiting for you to show up as the revealed sons of God. They're waiting for you to show up as people knowing who you are. See, the greatest challenge the devil has is to keep us from realizing who we are. If he can't stop that, he's finished. It's only a matter of time till his kingdom has no influence, because there's a kingdom manifesting in the people that know who they are. Wow. Creation was subjected to futility. Creation subjected to futility. Everywhere you go, all around you, the creation is subjected to futility. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also would be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Wow. You see, we can't really have a walk with God until we can accept the fact that we have a walk with God. How many here have a walk with God? Everyone raise your hand. You're going to make a faith confession. Say, I have a walk with God. Now, what other things go through your mind when someone says, do you have a walk with God? Are you thinking, well, I'm not so sure I have a walk with God because I know what kind of person I am. Well, what kind of person are you? Anyway, just really, who are you? Are you a bad person? Are you just a mess waiting to happen? Are you a mess that's already happened? See, we're held back in because we don't realize that we have to accept ourselves in who we really are in God. Who are you really? How many are born again this morning? So who are you? You're a brand new creation. Where are the old things gone? They're gone away. Where are the new things at? In you. Where's righteousness from? From God. Do you have it? Can you say it? I am righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not of my own works, but what God has given me. So I learned to accept myself and who I am. God, give me a revelation of who I am. You know, Popeye knew who he was. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot. When I eat my spinach, I'm strong to the finish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot, toot. Now, because Popeye had a revelation, Popeye was able to just bounce Brutus all over the place. Robin Williams, that just passed away last week, God bless his soul. Did you ever see the movie? He played Popeye. That was classic. Popeye the Sailor Man. He had a revelation of who he was because he knew that by eating spinach, he would be so strong that he could not be defeated. You should also realize because of what you've eaten the bread of life that cometh down from heaven. You've drinking the new wine of the kingdom. Because of that, you cannot be defeated by the enemy. Begin to have a revelation of who you are. Because the greater the revelation that you have of who you are, the greater the revelation you'll begin to have of who everyone else is around you. And then you'll be able to quote that scripture that I can't quote. And I forgot to write down. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, when you're an old covenant mentality, all you can get to see is what's happening in the flesh realm. But new covenant people never see the flesh, they always see the Spirit. That's why we don't minister from a place of condemnation, but we minister from a place of grace. Because Christ does not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. So he doesn't come to look at the world with predisposed judgment in his mind to condemn you because of what you've done wrong. He comes with a predisposed judgment to give you grace. He's already determined in his heart who you are and what you're going to be, so he doesn't change his mind in that. He wants you to change your mind and receive his salvation. And then he wants to take that salvation that he puts in you and take you through the process of sonship. Sonship means becoming fully aware of what's around you. How do you determine when you're mature in God? Well, some people say, well, after 40 years, I might make it. I know it's been harder than a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for me to make it into sonship. But bless God, someday I might make it. Oh, God, help me. I'm so tired. No. The Lord doesn't take you the process is not that way. Now, it might take a while because the process is getting you aware of who you are. Learning that as you follow after Christ, you'll become like Christ. He being the pattern son, so we follow. We do what Christ did, don't we? We take on a heart of humility, heart of submission, a heart of obedience. Some of you, don't worry about being submissive and obedient. Just humble yourself and just say, God, I'm not here to do my own will, but to do the will of one who called me. All that stuff comes naturally then. God put it in your DNA. When you let your spirit man begin to rule in you, then you don't have to worry about being submissive and obedient and humble. Because that's who he is. If you try to become submissive, obedient, and humble in your flesh, you're just going to wind up in a religious mess. The more you try to humble yourself, the more you'll have self-humility.
And I can't be nothing. I'm just such a mess. I'm just going to humble myself.
No, true humility is strength. Oh, I got to be submissive. No, true submission is authority. Oh, I got to be obedient. Don't spank me, Master. No. True obedience is manifestation of who you are. It's a revealing of the kingdom in you. Because you're saying, I'm not going to look at this natural man anymore to control and dictate to me. I'm going to let my spiritual man reign within me. Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, it's so wonderful when you just get you out of the way. When we just get out of the way, it all works. When we take the big I out of this thing, it just all works. When all of a sudden we quit trying to do it, it all works. When we quit trying to achieve it, it all happens. We just keep positioning ourselves in Him. That's why I said in Him we live and move and have our being. It's all about Him, isn't it? Everything that we have is from Him. None of it comes from ourselves. Wow. How far am I into this now? Not far enough. Futility comes. Get this one. Write this one down. This is the one that needs to stick on your bones this morning. Futility comes when you're in frustration over the fact that God is doing something in you and you're not accepting it. Instead, you keep beating yourself down with the same old stick. I added the same old stick part in there. I didn't have that. Let me say it again. Futility comes when you're in frustration over the fact that God is doing something in you and you're not accepting it. Instead, you keep beating yourself down with the same old stick. You know, there's plenty of people in this world that'll beat you. You don't have to beat yourself. There's plenty of people in this world that'll crucify you. You don't have to go finding crosses to get on. There's plenty of people out there that'll want to get you. I was driving down the road this morning on 290 and pulled up at the Y there and stopped at a red light. And I was in the left-hand lane. There was an old pickup in the right-hand lane at the front of the line. And this girl pulled up adjacent with me in a smaller car. Very attractive young lady. She jumps out of the car. Of course, I'm thinking she's attracted to me and she's going to come over. No, but that wasn't what happened. She... She ran to that car up in front of her and banged on the window, the old pickup, and the guy rolled the window down, and boy, she just began to read him the riot act. I couldn't hear a word she was saying. Thank God these virgin ears should not hear that kind of language. She began to speak to him in a very intense tone. And after about 20 seconds of that, she stomps back to her car like this, and she wasn't so lovely then, gets in her car and slams the door. I'm thinking, futility, uselessness. What good does that do? It's kind of like a lot of Christians. They just do a lot of stuff, slam the door. Think, man, I did something there. I got something accomplished. Now, all she did was endanger her life. What if the guy shoots her? I would never go up in a pickup that looked like that and approach. I mean, this looks like Redneck City. Someone that's been living outside on the other side of Dripping Springs up by Onion Creek or something in a tent for the last 2 years, and this is the first time they ventured into Austin to buy groceries. Some 95-pound woman goes up and bangs on the window. Woo! Man. Futility is like cleaning your house while your kids are still growing. It's like shoveling the walk before it stops snowing. It's like going out and throwing bird seed on the snow while it's still snowing. Futility is like what we used to do back here in the kitchen. We would redecorate over a house that had a corroding plumbing system. It was always nice. I'd get phone calls, "Pastor, the kitchen's flooding again." "Well, stick some duct tape on it and put some more sheetrock and paint it, and maybe it'll hold it for a while." Then about a year later, "Pastor, the kitchen's flooding again." That's futility, to keep repairing the same old thing over and over again without any hope of solution. It's futility, isn't it? Whew. Oh, wow. To be futile is someone that goes out and takes a shovel and starts shoveling into the ocean their sand. I've already told you about the one tattooing soap bubbles. Tattoo soap bubbles. That was my favorite. Isn't it amazing what you can find online? Oh, I like this one too. Futility is trying to plug a hole with scotch tape. Guilty. You finally learn in the taping business that after 20 or 30 years that duct tape is the only thing that you need. You need a little duct tape, life is fine. Nothing could happen that you can't fix. Until super glue came along. But I found that's futility as well, because you get your fingers stuck together. And then you also need to put a warning label in there. Do not scratch places after you've used super glue. Oh. Whew. Futility is listening to Bill Hart on Sunday mornings trying to get through with his message. See, God loves you so much. He's brought you this far to not just abandon you. Isn't that kind of cool? God didn't bring you this far just to quit. Amen. Wow. I mean, just think about it. If you've gone this far and endured all this stuff, then why not keep on? Because you know it's going to get better. Right? It's amazing how many people go through things in life and they go through all this hardship and say 10 years of hardship, and it just beats them up and it beats them down, and they just feel like someone's been flogging them day and night. And then all of a sudden the breakthrough is just about there, and they say, "Oh, I'm going to quit." That's futility. Is to quit before the victory is manifested. Amen. That's why we're still here. 30 years. We've either too dumb to quit, or we had faith saying, "We believe God. We believe that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And that if we not cast away our confidence in who He is in us, and we just keep believing and standing on the promise, that one day, someday, somehow, there'll be a manifestation of that promise happen in my life." Wow. I mean, some people say, "Pastor, thank you and Sue for standing all these years and doing all this stuff and making all this possible. What else could we do? We couldn't quit." We've been married 45 years this January. I'm sure Sue's wanted to quit a lot. But, you know, we're still together. I don't know how we stayed together. It sure wasn't because I was so wonderful. I know some of you thought that, but it's because you know her. She's so wonderful. Isn't it great, men, that we've got women that have faith for us and love us in spite of our carnality and our stubbornness and our messes and our failures, and the women just keep believing, "God, I've married that man. I'm going to stick with him. I might have to kill him, but I'm going to stick with him." Only one time in 45 years did Sue get the frying pan after me. Thank God I've been a righteous man. I hope y'all like this morning. If you don't, it's too late now. You're already here. See, this false humility is something that whines, I can never do anything right. Oh, my goodness. I'm just worthless. It's a Christian that says, well, you know what the Bible says, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we're just really a mess. And, we're nothing inside of ourselves, and we're worthless, and we're not worthy. And, oh, my God, I need Jesus. Well, we're not worthy, are we? But see, false humility will keep you in a place of feeling that you never measure up. But what God says to you is this, what Paul said. I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. But I know that in me, that in my flesh, there's nothing good that dwells. But he also said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That God has made me sufficient in him to become an able minister of his new covenant. See, true humility trusts God. Because humility cannot be divorced from faith. They're married together. True humility and faith go hand in hand. And when we say all the time, oftentimes in the attitude that when we say, I am nothing, is oftentimes unbelief parading as humility. Unbelief parading as humility. It's not an ego trip. It's not about lifting ourselves up with pride. It's not about saying, well, look at me. And it's all about saying, look what who he is in me. I am sufficient as a minister of the gospel because of the Christ that works within me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that might come across to some as egotistical or even arrogant. But it's that same thing that Hebrews talks about when it says that, brethren, don't cast away your confidence. And because the confidence that we have is the confidence of knowing, of the assurance of who Christ is in us. He is the hope of glory in us. And when we have that confidence, then that's when we have that authority. Wow. See what I talked about in the beginning, displacement? See, when we begin to move into who we are and the knowledge of who we are, we begin to express that knowledge through the prophetic voice that God's given us. Because the Bible said it all begins in the heart, but it's expressed through the mouth. So man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, thus results in his salvation. Also, that same principle follows through in every principle in God. What you believe in your heart and what you declare with your mouth, which is called a prophetic utterance, results in the salvation of the Lord being expressed or the gospel of Christ being demonstrated among us. So when I have confidence in God, when I realize that, no, there is nothing in me that's good, but yet I don't let that interfere with what God is in me. See, this thing becomes so great a revelation in you, even when your flesh tends to mess up or fall short, you pay no attention to it. You ignore the shortcoming of the flesh to keep acknowledging the strength of the Christ that's in you. Oh, my God, I messed up this week. I'm just going to not go to church. I can't worship God because I'm such a sinner. Well, you're just making a confession of false humility. True humility says, man, yeah, I messed up. But man, I'm a quick repenter. Thank you, Lord, that your blood, That if I sin, if I mess up, that I can come to you. I have an advocate with the Father, that in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, I'm cleansed from all my sin and all my unrighteousness, and I stand perfect in your sight. Hallelujah. Quit trying to perfect this flesh. It'll never make it until the anointing perfects it in the resurrection. Oh, if I could just get better. No, you can't get better. You're just going to get worse trying to get better. The more you try to perfect this thing, the worse it'll get. Because what you'll do, you'll start suppressing things in you, and you'll just push it down. What you're doing, you're planting more seeds for a future harvest when you start pushing things down. When you start trying to be religious and act like you're so holy and pure, but yet you know inside that holiness and purity hasn't been perfected in you, but yet you keep putting on the outward facade of that, you just keep suppressing the thing that's going to come up later to try to destroy you. It's better just to walk around and say, hey, I'm an open book. Whew. Wow. You know, people look at me and, preacher, you're just too earthy. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means because I'm older than dirt, or I taste like dirt, or, well, maybe because they said, preacher, you just let it all kind of hang out there. Everybody sees your imperfections. Well, believe me, you're not seeing all of them. You wouldn't want to. But you're seeing enough of them that I don't want to be a Pharisee that lives behind whitewashed walls, but inside of me is dead men bones. Hallelujah. I want the life of Christ to be manifested within me. The reality of the nature of the Lord. And I do that by manifesting him continually unto my brethren. Wow. 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 We're on the home stretch. Hold on to your seat, because we're going to go 90 miles an hour right now. Woo. When the sons of God have that kind of humility, when the Lord says, you are seated with me in heavenly places, we answer him and say, yes, sir, we are. When the Lord says, you can bind, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in heaven shall be loosed upon the earth. Say, yes, sir. Hello? Are you seated with him in heavenly places? We've been raised up far above all principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. We've been raised up above the religious spirits. We've been raised up above the things that have tried to displace the rulership of Christ upon the earth. We are raised, seated with him in heavenly places. We have all authority, just as Christ was spoken in Matthew, said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go forth and make disciples of all the nations. That means to go and take dominion over every region, over every area, to go and displace the enemy and begin to see in your life Satan falling from heaven like lightning all around you, where he no longer rules, he no longer reigns, but Christ rules and he reigns. And his glory covers the earth. Say, well, how does the glory come? The glory comes when people stand up and displace the darkness and let the light come in. But the darkness is displaced because of who we are and what we've become in Christ Jesus. Wow. You are complete in him. Whew. See, it's not about battling. It's about becoming. And so much of the church in this hour is still caught up in this thing that's called spiritual warfare, which is a reality. There is a spiritual warfare, but it's not the warfare that most practice. The day will become when we only have to speak that word, and it happens. Walk into the room and it changes. Revealing the God Christ in us wherever we go, without even a word. Well, I don't know. It's kind of stupid. I mean, they did it in the Bible. Shadows falling on people, getting healed. Walking around, demons crying out. Believe me, some people say, don't you worry about demons coming to the church? I'm going to tell you, no matter how much I would say, demons come in, they're not about to come in. Back in the early days, we used to have witches come. You wouldn't believe the battles that came against us back in the 80s and early 90s. Covens of witches would come to the church. They would come to destroy us. I mean, there was people on assignments from the devil that would come to this place because this was the beachhead right here. 3406 Tarleton Lane, 78746, was a beachhead in this city. And they were sent to destroy us. Did they succeed?
No.
Basically, what we had to do was pull back judgment. Because we knew that if we even spoke anything, they would kill them. They might die right on the spot. Don't suffer a witch to live, the Bible says. But yet we have mercy and grace, so we suffered that they would live. So that they made it later on, they found salvation. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. There's some authority in this place. Hello? Do you feel it? Where is it coming from? Ha ha. Oh, we've become channels. Authority in this place. There's authority in this place. Woo! Man, where's the fear? Not here. There's no fear here. Woo! It's only good stuff. John 1:6, I love 1:16 says, I love this. For his fullness we have received. And grace upon grace. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. I mean, I can see it in my spirit right now, one day, that there'll be so much grace flowing out those doors. It'll be like taffy machine, just oozing out. You know, that have you ever seen one of them taffy machines? And it just starts kind of oozing out. I see that's how grace will just kind of ooze out. Starts oozing over the city. One thing about God's grace, too, it's sticky. It's gooey, sticky. Some of these nut cakes that come down and are on the floor and say, gooey, gooey. They had it right all along. Grace is gooey. Grace is sticky. Grace will adhere to you better than duct tape. You can't even wash it off. Oh, it just sticks on you. Like gooey taffy. Oh. 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 I don't know. I wanted to say some more stuff that was important. Maybe you'll have to come back next week. For some more gooey stuff. My goodness, if you came in this morning and you were religious, you really got Zacho, didn't you? You're thinking, my God, how did I wind up here? What is this place? When did they let these people out of the institute? I thought the state hospital was in Big Spring. No, this is the Big Spring. That's enough. Oh, I've had enough. Oh, I didn't get a quarter of the notes. But I'm through. I can't help it. I'm zunkered. I mean, I'm gooeyed, or I mean, I'm taffied. I'm cotton candied. I'm something. Whew. Hallelujah. Do you have a revelation of who you are?
Yes.
Yeah. You're dangerous. You're really dangerous. Dangerous. Wow. God's, you know, one thing I didn't get into is that this all comes, you know what this all gives you at the end result? It gives you the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that will rule and guard your heart. Wow. Say happy. Okay. Oh. We welcome you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful, beautiful, awesome people that I'm looking at right now. This is the most beautiful people I've seen in a long time. When I look at them, Lord, I don't want to get out of my car and bang on pickups windows. But I want to rejoice in the Lord. Well, did you guys from Houston have fun? Come on up here. Yeah. Hallelujah. I just think, you guys are drinkers, aren't you?
Yeah. We like to drink.
Yeah. I know you do. That's why I called you up here. I don't like to be with people that don't like to drink. Oh, I preached the whole message. I didn't even cough. I've been going through this chest deal this week. But guess what? I don't acknowledge that. Lord, just feel my brother and sister. What's your name again?
Tracy
and Rich?
Yes.
Rich Tracy?
Yes.
Dick Tracy? Rich Tracy. You're the rich guy. And you're Trace after him. Oh. Rich and Tracy. Oh. I think we ought to do